Costas right there at 720 WGN.
That producer tossed to you just now. It kind of looked like the Buffalo Bills quarterback last night. The way
Nathan Peterman?
Thrown. Yeah, Nathan, the accountant.
Dr. Nathan Peterman, DDS.
He just tossed you something and it didn't work out so well.
That was fun to watch.
It really was.
Mrs. Dr. Nathan Peterman, DDS.
Didn't anyone feel sorry for him? He was getting beaten up so bad. I mean, he deserved it.
Really.
And he's the backup to the backup, right? Third string. So
Nathan Peterman looks like one of the quarterbacks we've seen in Chicago for so many years. The long list of the Quinns and the Cade McNowns. Like that's the type of quarterback play we have seen for so long in this town.
Did I hear this right? That Nathan Peterman only had two starts in college? He only had two more starts than I did in college.
Oh, gee.
He looked about exactly how he anticipated Nathan Peterman to look. That was something.
And is the Pennsylvania Podiatry Institute, do they actually have a football team?
Apparently
I had no
so.
Idea.
I guess it was one of those club things. It wasn't an actual official league. You know, like a student body club.
All right. We can have fun now. We can have fun now with it. But I do think it is amazing that NBC just announces NBC has flexed, this Sunday's game against Detroit, but probably the most critical game of the year for the Bears.
Yep.
You know, even when the season's over, they will point to this game. Whoever wins that game in Minnesota a week from Sunday. Wait, is that here or Minnesota? That's in Minnesesota, right?
No, it's here.
Here? Oh.
Great.
Oh.
I know what you're thinking.
Oh.
I know what you're thinking.
Oh.
It's a good one to be at.
Oh.
Boy, that's going to be exciting.
As Vic would say,
no, stop.
This is going to be great.
I feel that on the back of my neck every time he does that.
That would be great.
Yeah, this 3-week stretch here is really going to define this season because you've got 3 straight division games. The Bears have to play 3 games in 11 days. That's actually not good for the Bears. Now they play Sunday night, and they have a game Thursday morning on Thanksgiving. That's a very short week.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun, and it's great. And it's just recognizing how big this matchup is going to be.
Well, I think that's also why it's so important that they sat Khalil Mack for 2 weeks, and they won both games.
Imagine what the score would have been if Khalil Mack had been in that game.
A fully healthy Khalil Mack.
Ridiculous.
Khalil Mack.
Then I would have felt bad for Nathan Peterman.
107 points.
It really felt that way.
It's become the new Ditka.
107-9. What's the spread on that? I don't even know. I don't even understand gambling, but that seems pretty huge.
I do like the way she says that. I don't understand gambling.
I'm learning everything through this show, through you and Kevin and Vic.
Anyway, the point is, we have got an amazing... This is a very fun time to be a Bears fan. Right?
It's amazing. I love it.
And enjoy it for the next 6 days.
It doesn't feel fluky. It feels like this is a good team. I mean, the defense is obviously one of the best in all of football, and the offense has got some weapons. So if they can get fully healthy, they're in good shape here.
But if you listen to OB, and he'll be joining us at 4:40 this afternoon, when I turn on, as I do, as all Bears fans must, you turn on the Hamp OB with Kaz show right after the game.
You do.
They like pop up as soon as the TV broadcast goes off. You can watch them on CLTV right here, or you can listen to WGN radio or listen online, WGN. It was as though the Bears had lost 41-9.
They're right? Picking apart some of the things they didn't like in a big way.
It was the worst. It was like you're like, whoa, wait, what?
Was the margin not large enough? The 32-point margin?
Well, we'll talk, we'll talk to OB, and we'll let him speak for himself, but he's just not a Trubisky guy.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not. I get a sense, though, that this team, I don't know.
Kevin gets so offended by that.
I know, I do, too. I'm on board with Trubisky. I mean, I know very little about football to the depth that any of you guys do, but you just believe I believe in this guy, and I'm excited about the future, the very near-term future for this team.
So am I. I mean, they've got guys locked up here for a while. They've got their core. Yeah, the jury's still out on Mitch Trubisky, but I'm not done with them
they're
like some people
one.
Are. They're first place. They are.
Well, okay. They're 4-3. But
5-3.
Five and three. I mean 5-3. But they are.
They're trending in the right direction.
Yes. Listen, when's the last time the Bears won 5 games in the first half of the season?
Well, they just matched their win total from last year.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Right. And beat it from 2 years ago. Weren't they 3-13?
Yep. And they only had 6 3 years ago.
Yeah. So all they got to do is, I mean, and let's face it, I don't think since Lovie Smith have they been 5-3. After the first half of the season.
It's been a while.
And the last time they were, they fired Lovie Smith for being 5-3, for being ending up at 10-6.
10-6.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
So, yeah, not good enough. Anyway, it's going to be a ton of fun.
It is.
The next couple of weeks. If they beat Detroit here on Sunday, that's going to be critical. It's really an important game.
Yeah.
Because then, yeah, I mean, you want to beat Minnesota, but you start to, even if Minnesota ends up winning, they've got that tie. I told you after the first week when that tie happened.
It's going to matter.
Right? After the second week when it happened. That tie makes all the difference in the world.
You're right. So it's Detroit, Minnesota, Detroit?
Yeah. Yep. Detroit Thanksgiving. So like I said, 3 games in 11 days.
That's
so
tough.
That's very tough.
Stay healthy. Gotta stay healthy.
Yeah, we'll see. They said Khalil Mack, Allen Robinson, it's still day-to-day, so it's going to be kind of the same procedure as it's been the past couple weeks with those guys. Because, look, I mean, this
Taylor, what about Gabriel?
Gabriel's, I think he's just fine. Just a sore knee is what it was described as by Matt Nagy.
Okay.
So he should be okay.
All right.
So does it speak to the strength of this team that they did the flex thing and they're changing them to the night game? Isn't that
sure.
what
yeah,
that's
no
about?
It's a very,
how they make those
honor.
Decisions?
That's a high honor.
Huge.
To have that happen. Yeah, because games of consequence, they think we're going to get a rating. That's how the NBC contract works. Think we're going to get a number.
Or get a lot of interest from Vic.
Yeah. Vic.
Wait, what happened with the spread? You guys win that?
Oh,
well, we'll talk about it later. Sweet Lou will be here to count the money. Lou talked me out of $1 million win.
Oh!
Stand by. Hold on. Don't anybody move. Ben Bradley is going to join us in the WGN-TV newsroom coming your way. But first, let's check in with Kim. I'm so used to it because...
Wow, I'm gone one day and already.
What's her name again?
What is her name again?
Birthday girl?
The birthday girl, Judy Pilot.
Thank you. Well, have you cast your ballot yet? Lots of voters have. On November 6th, you have the power to influence the course of politics. Follow the most comprehensive local political news online, chicagotribune.com/midterms. Place to go this election time.
That is true.
Almost election day, but who would know? So many people are early voting that a lot of people got it out of the way already.
Ben Bradley joins us now from the WGN-TV newsroom. And Ben, that's a big issue here, isn't it, in Illinois?
It is. We were stunned today to see 20-minute long lines outside the Supersite downtown where you can early vote. 200,000 people have early voted in the city of Chicago. The suburbs are seeing, you know, big numbers of early voting as well. What nobody can say with certainty is, does this actually represent more people who will be voting in this election overall, or is it just more people kind of getting it out of the way in advance? Yes, there's a lot of buzz. There is a lot of enthusiasm. There's a lot of talk. They think turnout will be high, but, you know, keep in mind where we're working from here is a turnout of about, what, like 48-49%.
Well, that's in a general.
Yes.
It's much lower in a midterm.
Or in a Chicago mayoral election, 30-something percent.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
How about that?
That tells you something.
It
and
really
people
does.
Do need to get engaged because you do not have a right to complain. Mm-hmm. And I complain a lot. I admit that I excessively complain about this.
As a fellow complainer, you could speak to the complainers on
yes,
this issue.
I would like to speak to the complainers. You get to complain if you vote. If you do not vote, you do not get to complain about this because it's like, oh, my vote doesn't count. It does. Because it counts in the aggregate. Look it up.
Do you guys early vote? I don't.
I don't either.
I like the whole tradition of going. On election day.
I used to like to take my daughter when she was younger.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And,
nice.
You know, I think all parents should do that.
Yep.
Bring the kids. Now, some polling places, like they try to arrest your kids if they go into the voting area with you. but some are like, okay about it. And you should get them involved in the process of it. I only go on election day because I like to go in the morning after the morning rush and see how many people have already voted. Because
right.
you can see it on the counter of the voting machine. You know, like when you go to put your ballot in,
right.
there's a rolling count there and it tells you.
I'm not sure I've ever seen that or noticed it.
Yeah.
You chat it up with the election judges, get a sense of how it's going. You know, speaking of taking your kids to the polls, I do that with my kids, but it's funny now. Our boys are 11, 10, and 7, and it's funny what they pick up from just hearing all the political commercials.
It is, isn't it?
My 10-year-old said to me, so what is J.B. Pritzker has some problem with toilets? What?
My 6-year-old said the same thing. She knows J.B. Pritzker's name. And I said, how about that?
Yeah. And then they'll recite to me like something awful that's been stated in a campaign commercial. Like, Daddy, why does so-and-so want to let murderers out of prison?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Honey, because they're a Democrat. That's what you have to tell them. Hey, that's okay. How about this? How many times have you heard the word Nazi in commercials? This tells you something about the tenor of American politics right now.
It does.
Well, in fairness, we actually do have a Nazi on the ballot. In the
yeah, but we're not talking about him.
I know, we're not even talking about him.
We're not even talking about him. I'm surprised that guy hasn't run commercials, because I think he might get some traction.
I swear, in some of these legislative races, they've made two commercials, and they're just swapping in candidates' names. You've got the anti-Madigan commercial and the anti-Trump commercial.
Right.
And they're tying in the guy who's running for dog catcher to be either anti-Madigan or pro-Trump.
Right. Although I found this really interesting. I see that, I don't know if this is a super PAC or this is Roskam's own campaign that's doing this, but now they're trying to take Roskam's opponent,
mm-hmm.
and they're giving him all of Trump's qualities.
Yes.
Which is so funny.
It's on him.
Yeah, I don't understand exactly what they're doing or why they're doing it, but they're doing it. I mean, well, I get it, but people, they're not that dumb.
They think there's a certain part of the electorate that can be tricked like that.
Yeah,
And he's in a heck of a race there, Peter Roskam, after all his time. And this is a district that serves the northwest suburbs, and it went, I think, for Hillary Clinton by about 7%.
Mm-hmm.
And polls show it is neck and neck right now. The other race, obviously, out in McHenry, parts of DuPage and Will counties, is the Randy Holkrin, Lauren Underwood race, which has gotten so nasty.
They're watching those nationally. Yep.
Then we will keep that. We'll leave it right there. We'll talk to you on Election Day tomorrow. Thank you, Ben.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
Ben. Bye-bye now. All right, let's check in with Judy Pilak. She's got the WGN News. Good morning, too.
Now, I don't know. They'll say this is nepotism, but the truth is, she's a very, very... You're not allowed to use the word beautiful anymore when you talk about women. You're not allowed. No. It's politically incorrect. No. It's politically... I will never call a woman beautiful again. And every man here, raise your hand. You will never, ever say your wife, your girlfriend, anybody is beautiful, right? So I'm not allowed to say it. Because this is my daughter, Ivanka. But she's really smart.
Oh, my. That is the president in Ohio. It's
terrific.
Now the war on Christmas has been won. Now it is the war on there's a war on creepy, and he wants to make sure that he can bring the creepy back.
I'm not sure it's the beautiful that's the problem. It's the dogs, the pigs, the other things that he's called women that have raised the attention.
You can't call women beautiful anymore. You can't call your wife your girlfriend. You can't, but let me give this piece of advice to the president. You can't call your girlfriend beautiful in front of your wife.
Right. That
would be
a total rule.
That's the one rule that actually applies to him.
Very true.
Yeah.
And then he does get in there at the end, the very, very end. She's smart too.
Yeah.
How about starting with that? That'd be great.
How about you can't?
But that's not the first thing you see.
How about you can't call women horse face anymore? Should we start that campaign? Is that better?
I can still grab them wherever I want, though, right? Anywhere?
Grab them by the votes, remember?
By the votes. By the boobages, wherever. Can I do it all?
So I can't call women beautiful anymore, just to confirm that moving forward in my life?
Did you guys raise your hand and make
the new thing?
Yeah. Yeah. That's yes. I state your name.
Kevin, raise your hand.
Yeah.
I'm raising my hand.
Jeff Earle has been following the president. He's in Indiana. I guess the president's heading his way to Indiana. Is this the final appeal? He's going to be in Missouri tonight. That's the big one. Am I correct about all of this? What am I not correct about, Jeff?
You are correct. That the big one is in Missouri, and that's got his big stars of Sean Hannity. And he brought Ivanka, of course, to Ohio. But in between, he's got Indiana, where he's at a hockey rink, which holds about 13,000 people. So we'll see if he brings someone more exciting than Vice President Mike Pence, a local son. But he'll make a splash here.
Mike, I just want to call you beautiful. I know I can't do it. Is it wrong? Yes, it is wrong. Now, tonight, this is very interesting, the one in Missouri. Are you following him to Missouri, or are you staying just in Indiana? I know you're there.
I'm staying in Indiana. It's a little hard to make them all.
Yeah. The Missouri one is interesting,
mm-hmm.
because it's not only going to be Hannity, but Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh is going to be making an appearance.
Isn't he from there?
Yeah. Well, but this is interesting. It's being it's being put together by David Limbaugh, who is Rush's brother, who also happens to be Sean Hannity's agent.
Oh.
So Mr. Limbaugh, David Limbaugh, is actually a very significant legal and agent force in conservative media. So this is all kind of some of the people at Fox News Channel and others. So this is kind of he's the Ari Emanuel of the right, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Although Ari Emanuel is the Ari Emanuel of the right, too, depending on, you know, which day of the week it is. But he's a power broker, and that's how he got Rush to come to this. And obviously now Missouri, Jeff, can you just explain to us quickly what the significance of the Missouri race is for people who may not be so familiar, just waking up to all of this right now?
It's just a huge toss of race because Claire McCaskill it's a state that Trump won handily, and Claire McCaskill is very vulnerable, and the Democrat, and they really want to try to take out a couple incumbents, and that's what two-thirds of today is about, is taking out Democratic incumbents. And McCaskill voted against Brett Kavanaugh, and Trump won't forgive her for that, and he thinks he's got a shot to take her down, and that's why he keeps going.
Is it showing that really is an issue that's motivating voters when you look at some of the data that the Kavanaugh hearings? A lot of people say, well, that's so long ago that it won't be fresh in people's minds, but is that true?
Well, in Missouri, it's particularly tough for McCaskill because she's trying to brand herself as a more centrist, work with both parties kind of a candidate, and she might be that, but that issue in her particular case, it shows her, it casts her in a more partisan light, so Trump can hammer her with that. And she's, it's a different state than, and she played it differently than like Joe Manchin did in West Virginia, so she's, I think it's a drag on her.
Interesting, because there was a theory about Kavanaugh that it was going to draw women out to be to vote not for Republicans. And then the Republicans are strategists are saying that, and I don't know if they're just saying this or this actually happened, but that there's a reverse Kavanaugh effect with suburban moms of boys, that their boys could be accused of anything. And there has to be a stop for that. There has to be a way. I've heard a number of Republicans say that. I don't know. I've heard Republican strategists say it. I haven't heard a mom say it yet. And maybe that's true. I don't know. But it
sounds a little too cute.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It's an answer to it. But you got to remember too, early voting has been going on for 3 weeks, and so that was right after the Kavanaugh thing. So Kavanaugh could have actually drawn a lot of people out there saying that this is all good for Democrats. We don't really know until everybody's making stuff up right now. Nobody knows for sure what's going to happen.
Go ahead.
But Missouri's big.
The one thing I did hear, though, that I would like to fact check with you is if you watch any cable news today, they're saying that there is a surge, obviously, across the country in early voting. We've seen, especially for midterms, there's some near records set and even some records being set. But that they're saying that a large number of those people are first-time voters. Democrats are saying that would heavily favor their candidates. Have you seen anything about that, Jeff?
Well, on the first-term voters, I would tend to think that does favor the Democrats because they're in all the polling, they're skewing much younger, right? So, I mean, you can be if you're a first-time voter, you're most likely younger. And you've seen among that younger demographic of up to about age 30, I mean, in some of these states like Texas, it's 100% or 200% or 300% of an increase over, admittedly, other off years where, like 2014, where it was a different situation, but you're seeing a real spike. And also back on that women issue, I mean, it's been pretty consistent that with women and college educated women, that's where the Democrats have a huge advantage. So if you see their numbers bumping up, that shows that something real is going on.
Well, it's going on now because the president has declared a war on creepy chauvinism. And I believe that now that Christmas is won, although I will say this, the Starbucks still didn't put Christmas on their cups.
Nothing, really?
No, it's red and green. They've done, the cups are out, but they're the holiday cups. And I'm not even sure we can say holiday. I don't know what it means.
So the war on Christmas continues.
According to Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, Howard Schultz is going to pay the ultimate price if Donald Trump finally gets his way.
He may run for president.
All right.
But you can still call your daughter beautiful, right? It's that still hasn't been taken away from us. Right?
Yes.
I think that's okay still.
But I do like it. I mean, he does it. He whips people up into it. They're like, you see, I mean, you know what I'm talking about when you got beautiful daughters and you can't call them beautiful. Who doesn't do that? You can call anybody beautiful. You just have to be, but in the workplace, if you go up to somebody whose job you impact and go, God, you look beautiful today. I mean, that's there's. Does he not?
That's not okay.
He gets a difference there.
And you don't say, "I want to date my daughter." That's another part of it.
Yeah.
I'm not going
to
go there.
Yeah. Just waiting for Jeff to squirm on that.
Jeff's
all right.
Like, okay.
Jeff, thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Jeff Earle.
Thanks. Thanks,
bye.
Jeff.
He's in Indiana today.
One of those Senate races that they're watching. They're saying that the amount of money being poured into, from the outside, into that race is huge. Missouri, Indiana, Florida, Tennessee, Arizona.
All right. Wait, hold on a second. We have more of this from just a few minutes ago in Ohio. This is the president and Ivanka Trump.
Thank you for having me here. Thank you, Ohio. We love you.
Okay. All right. I never said she was beautiful. But she was smart. I'll tell you what. Always like a great student. Always a great student. And I remember when she graduated from the Wharton School of Finance, some of her classmates came up and said, I don't know if I like this. They said, Mr. Trump, she doesn't even try and she gets great marks. She gets these great marks. And there's something okay about that, too. But she has been a wonderful daughter. I have to tell you, she's been a wonderful, wonderful daughter.
Hmm. Proud of his daughter there.
He also
there's
does
nothing wrong with that.
That grandfather thing, too. Get great marks. You know, it's sort of like, that's it. Great marks. When you got his great marks. Yeah. It's like, you have to, people over 100 say great marks. I think even people in their 70s say great grades now. People, like, you know, post-Vietnam, they were called grades. They were called marks. Anyway, I know, it's a small point, and I shouldn't obsess about it, but I obsess about all of this. The piece that I find funny about this, though, is of all the guys who are going to make the argument, you can't call anybody beautiful anymore. He's the wrong messenger for that. Right? He and Bill Clinton are the two guys who shouldn't be talking about this.
Yeah. Right. Normal people who aren't creepy understand that saying, oh, yeah, my daughter's beautiful is fine, but...
Or any woman.
Saying a woman is beautiful and creepily, like, touching her hand or something.
Right.
Yeah, there's a major difference.
It's situational, and most people have the situational awareness for it.
And some people can't say beautiful without seeming creepy.
Creepy radio guy is super upset about the war. the war on beautiful.
He's upset about that.
What do you
that.
Mean?
I use it all the time, right?
I'm not creepy at all when I tell women beautiful.
No, I'll tell you something right now, Kev. Can I brought that up? Every intern I ever had.
was gorgeous.
Oh, you are so beautiful. to me.
Oh, God.
Can't you see?
Oh, you sing to him, huh?
Well, I sing talk, because I can't really say. So I'm on the radio.
Oh.
they like when you sit really close to them on the couch. Right?
Here's a little something going out to the interns. Because I'm thinking right now, you are so beautiful. Wouldn't it be good to freak out with me, wouldn't it? Yeah, you damn right it would be. 349 GN.
She's a very kinky girl. The kind you don't take home to my vibe.
Video guy, so impressive how you hit the post there. Tell me how you do it, please.
Were the interns impressed with that?
Yeah, always, yeah. If you ask them, yes.
Gather around, interns.
Yeah. Hey, the point is, of all the guys, can I just go back to all the guys in the history of American pop culture, politics, entertainment, whatever, he's like in the top five who should not be trying to defend being overly solicitous to women.
Well, he shouldn't be trying to define the terms of which you can use and what you can't use. I think we can all agree he's gone way over the bounds of what you should say and what you shouldn't.
Right. I mean, the Billy Bush thing, I mean, alone. What is he best known for in terms of that? He's best known for, you know, his multiple marriages and girlfriends and porn star. And then the whole, I just greet him with the Hollywood hello. The Hollywood handshake. And that's a little too much. It's a little too much. So
even more insulting, though, is he's, you know, yeah, you can't call him beauty. You know, it's woe is me, the man who can't do that anymore. You know what I'm saying? He's not, it's not even, don't, everyone knows you can't do it. It's, can you believe we can't do this anymore? It's so insulting that he would say that, like, ugh. It's, you know, everyone knows we should be able to do it. But because, you know, the women will complain, we can't do it anymore.
That's exactly the point. The women will complain that.
But I mean,
I've been invited to their hotel room, and the next thing you know, someone's going to do, you know, pulling something out in the hotel room.
I just want to make it clear that he doesn't understand. He doesn't get it at all.
I know.
Let's not make sure he. Yeah. He doesn't understand.
Well, I don't think he thinks he's ever done anything wrong, so that's why he doesn't get it.
But on top of that is what I'm saying. It's not only that, let's make sure we put that woman in her place by rolling our eyes and saying, yeah, we can't say beautiful anymore. Because not because it's wrong, but because those darn women complain.
Yeah.
In the right context,
thank you.
It's okay.
I'll be appearing at the polling place. Yeah,
you know, no, you're right. But in the context, see, there is it's all contextual, right? In this context of I can't call my daughter beautiful anymore. Yes, you can. Of course, you can. I wouldn't say it the way you say it because everybody thinks it's creepy, and I'm wondering if she's creeped out by it, but she just has to nod. I wonder how Jared feels about this.
He's got a lot on his plate right now.
Yeah, that's true.
World peace. I think Jared's like, all right, Dad, whatever you need, Dad.
Well, Jared, you know, Jared's got his own dough.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a backbone.
All I know is that I can't wait for tomorrow to be over.
I know. How about
or
it?
Can you?
Amen.
I can wait for. I don't care. Whatever the outcome, I just it's whatever happens, happens. It's up to them. I mean, this is why people just go out and vote. I don't care who you are, what you stand for. Go out and vote, and let's so that no one can argue that this has been stolen or this is not. You know, that people didn't take part in it. I mean, let's see what how America really feels about where we are now, and maybe you know. Hey, listen, they've said this, and I think it's true. I'm like the president saying that they say this all the time.
Who's they?
But I did hear earlier one pundit on CNN say that it's probably the most consequential thing for American culture if tomorrow Trump keeps the House and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a red wave or you know red stay or whatever they want to call it, that's going to be it's going to be incredibly consequential because then everything changes because then he's won the argument, and so now we have to redefine. What the United States is along his terms.
No pressure.
Yeah. Let us now check in with Judy, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Searching the lake and the Calumet River for missing people.
Yeah, it's a Rokon show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Tom Skilling joins us right now.
Tom, I was talking to Roe and keeping him busy so that he didn't hear the forecast. So don't worry, it's all good.
Good, Anna. That's good. You know, just a little
I was saying, look out
playing
the
interference
pier.
There. Sure.
It's beautiful
sure.
Right
Earmuffs.
Now.
It is. Yes. Yes,
the
it is.
The lakefront and the boats.
Well, we're not going to be shoveling any great amount of snow or anything like that.
Oh, my God.
You missed it.
What? What is what do you mean?
I'm sorry. I let the cat out of the bag.
When's it gonna?
Oh, we could flurry a little bit Thursday night and Friday, and there's another little system on Sunday, perhaps, that could give us some snow flurries. And it's about time for that to happen. You know, the average date for measurable snow around here is on or about November 17th.
Can we get snow for the Bears game Sunday?
You know what? There could be some flurries. It looks like right now the front is in the area in the morning, and then, you know, anything that'd be in the air in the afternoon you would think would be pretty scattered. But again, we're looking 6 days out, Kevin, so you know, to divide the day up and give you an accurate day part forecast is kind of a hazardous undertaking at this point.
Well, it isn't. You know what? I do want to ask you about this, though, because I got into a fight with another television meteorologist today.
Uh-huh. Oh.
I know.
Sounds serious.
Of all the people. This is what my life is like, is that I'm caught between two meteorologists.
Yeah.
And I always trump them, pardon the expression, little t.
Yeah.
By saying, you know, Tom Skilling's on my show every day.
I know.
I do that too. Just like that.
Well, that's not what Tom Skilling said to me earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
I do that all the time.
I'm sure that goes over well.
Yeah, exactly. With family members, like, what?
Yeah.
So tomorrow, there are real political axioms that are in play when it comes to weather and turnout.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And because there has been early voting, it's, you know, less critical than it used to be.
Sure.
Right? But it's still fairly critical because there are traditionalists and older voters have had a tendency, this year may be different because the early voting is so high, but in past elections, older voters have had a tendency to not come out until election day.
Yeah.
Now, tomorrow, there is going to be, earlier, like late last week, you were saying, you know, it's going to be kind of a big...
Windy.
Weather maker, but now it's going to be a big wind maker.
Yes. And it never was supposed to be a huge precipitation thing. There may be a few sprinkles. There is absolutely no reason not to vote tomorrow based on the weather. It'll be a little windy, that's for sure. But nothing that we haven't handled before.
Wind is one of those issues, though,
yeah,
that is more so than rain. Snow is one.
Yeah.
That's the one that keeps everybody home.
Mm-hmm.
But rain tends not to. But what does is wind.
Sure. Well, you know, as always with wind, if you're in open areas, you know, where the wind can have access to you, we say it's blowing geostrophically without friction. There aren't buildings or features of the terrain. Then it can really blow. And we'll have some wind gusts to 35 to 45 miles an hour at times. But bad as that sounds, you know, I think if you go early, it'll be blowing in the morning, that's for sure. There could be some 30-mile-per-hour wind gusts at daybreak, and there will be through the day. And by the midday period and early afternoon could see some 40 to 45-mile-per-hour wind gusts. But in terms of driving rains or anything like that, you raise an interesting point, though, Ro. I wonder if anybody has ever really looked at and quantified just what kind of weather keeps people
yes.
home. We know the rain and snow does.
No, the answer is yes.
That's is that it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's part of the whole
the modeling
play here. It's part of the modeling, too, about
sure.
how
turnout.
About how politicians can anticipate turnout and
yeah.
try to tweak it.
Yeah.
Right? Because you've got, you know, like in Florida and the Desert Southwest, you think about how states are important.
Sure.
Because they tend to have higher turnouts because the weather factor, and it is something. I mean, there's apathy is the big thing, right?
Yeah.
I
sure.
mean, which is ridiculous. I always want to go back now in the last day or so here. If there's a news story that is emblematic of how important all of this is, it is the tragic loss of that mayor from Utah, who was a National Guardsman, killed in Afghanistan last week. And his last post on Facebook was pictures of Afghanis going to vote.
Gee.
And the risk, the distance that they have to travel, the risk that they take to themselves, both in health, but mostly, you know, for fear that they're going to be stopped for doing that by
sure.
rival parties and violence is going to break out, that these people do this anyway. And it's the one thing that America has been great in, bringing democracy to the world. And so if we stop
don't show up
and don't show up in our own elections
right.
because it's a little windy or whatever it
right.
happens
yeah.
to be,
exactly.
or because they're like, I don't care, my vote doesn't count. I mean, you look at these people who literally face the possibility of death for voting
yeah.
and
being
are willing
shot
to do
or
it.
Something on the way to the polls.
What do you think of him himself? You know, his post says, whether Republican or Democrat, it's important we all remember we have far more as Americans that unites us than divides us. Calling on Americans to vote is his final post, and here's a man fighting for our freedom in Afghanistan.
I know.
Several fourth deployment, and the father of seven children, and will not get the opportunity to vote again.
Incredible. Is that right? He had seven children. I read that story, but I didn't realize he had
seven children.
Wow.
His wife, Jenny, and their son.
That's tragic. Well, you know, in terms of Election Day weather nationally, there could be some severe weather on the East Coast. There's some big storms down in Louisiana now. And there's snow out in Montana, and there's wind through the Plain States and the Midwest. But, you know, we've had a lot worse than that. Those are the major weather issues this election day. Don't you think, though, that it just seems like all the rules are being changed, which makes this such a fascinating election, how this is going to come out, because we're in new territory in terms of early voting and everything else
right.
from all you read
right.
here.
And that changes all of this, too. It changes how
sure.
How campaigns behave, how they spend, how they operate, where they have to do. But what I like most about this is, as tumultuous as this has all been, at least there is a level of engagement. You can't ignore it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few times in American history that, even though we are technically at war, it's you know, we're in a situation where the economy is great and it's mostly peaceful.
Yeah,
there is a there's a foreboding sense too. I mean, people are really agitated about the politics of what's happening on, you know, on either side. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is apply that to this whole new philosophy of being able to go and vote for 3 weeks or a month or whatever in advance.
Yes.
And that is it. And it's, and it changes everything, because the whole idea was the emotions, getting everybody emotionally peaked to go out on that one day.
Sure.
Now it's about keeping them emotionally peaked.
Mm-hmm. I know.
These campaigns used to have a crescendo. Right. Now they're it's a constant assault for, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks. And you notice there used to be a rule that on the Saturday before the election, all the commercials turned positive. Used to be one of those rules.
Right.
Oh,
remember
is that right? There was an era like that.
Yes, they're closing.
Not happening.
No,
this was like
sure
two cycles ago, years ago.
Yeah.
Is that everybody does a positive brandishing, apple polishing set of ads.
And when did that end? That apparently is bit
2016.
Yeah. When they figured it end?
Yeah. Well, it was done. Wow. I mean, it started going away, but now for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, they found that at least the philosophy is here, and that's where you get one of the things that is really up for on the ballot tomorrow is not just Donald Trump or the politician you're voting for or whatever, but it's really about style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's about the way that we proceed in our politics.
I think you're right, Ro. I think you're absolutely right. And it's amazing the people that are coming forward and saying, you know, this is what I'm voting about. And some big names, are coming forward. Did you see Captain Sully Sullenberger on Saturday night? He talked about it. Most unlikely person to address an election issue, and yet, or an election, and yet he was concerned about the tone in the country. And
he has a voice, right?
He does.
We all do.
Very respected.
Yeah. He's got an interesting voice in that, you know, he's one of those guys, one of the few people in the last decade who is a hero just on his purely on his own actions.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's and that's kind of where, you know, what we're looking for at the moment.
We are.
And we don't seem to have it. It's gotten to a point where it's hard to explain. I was just talking to my daughter about this and about voting. She early voted. And the idea of where does, you know, like, and I think that generation looks to our generation, and we no longer look to our parents' generation because, you know, I can't talk to them at Thanksgiving. But you know, I think there's like a look now of, is this the way? Because this is the world they've grown up in, right? There's nothing. They don't have anything to look back upon.
Right.
And say, oh, I really liked that.
Well, this is heartening. There's a story out right now, USA Today, saying surge in early voting totals. We knew that. But that young people are showing up for a midterm election, and we haven't seen that in a non-presidential year for many, many years. And they're saying youth voting in Illinois is up 144% over the midterms in 2014. So midterm to midterm, 144% surge in youth voting.
That's amazing. I hadn't heard the figure, Anna, for Illinois, so that's very interesting.
Yes.
There have been comments about it in Florida and Texas, I know. And, you know, after that shooting down in Stoneman High School.
Stoneman Douglas.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing how young people came out on that. And it's going to be interesting in so many respects to digest and analyze what happens in this election, because we seem to be breaking some new ground, don't you think, on so many different fronts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we have engaged young people who historically haven't voted. You know, and I look back at my own life. I came to being interested in current events a little later than I wish I had been. It was amazing. I went on a backpacking trip to Europe, and this is when it started, back in the 70s. And I missed the news from home so much, I started reaching for any magazine I could get over there. And it's never stopped. I've been curious ever since. And
you know what will be interesting is there were a lot of people who didn't. The conversation on Wednesday is going to be one of two things. One, it's either going to be, well, this is the new reality, which is that, you know, the president has won his argument and he's been supported by voters, and this is going to be a massive turnout. And, you know, and our politics are now changed, at least for a generation in America.
Sure.
Right? That's, that, mm-hmm. that will be one argument, depending on outcome. Mm-hmm. Second argument will be that this is that this style has been rejected, and that the idea of now just going down and boring down to your base supporters
yeah.
and alienating everybody else to make your base supporters feel good about the fact that they don't like any of those other things, whether it's Democrats or LGBTQ or immigrants or whatever it happens to be, any of the people that have been targeted here, that once that you can't just live on small bases. There's a whole political philosophy. The president's very smart. He knows what he's doing here. He's living on this notion that if he bores down, has a very, very energized core, small but mm-hmm. core and very passionate group of people, they will show up to vote, and they may intimidate people away from voting, or people will go, oh God, I can't, I don't get involved in that. And I don't mean intimidate in a physical way. I mean just sort of like, you know, their presence in the conversation in their own communities or the families or whatever it is that they will each one teach one, and they will be the ones who, you know, try to make that sale. The problem is that Republicans in the autopsy of 2012, the Republican autopsy of 2012, they argued that what they had to do is reach out, make the tent bigger. The problem that they were living on after 2012 and after Barack Obama had beaten Mitt Romney was that we're not big enough. We need to get bigger. We need to get bigger.
Yeah.
And where can we go get bigger? We can go get bigger with Hispanics.
Sure.
That's what they wanted to do.
Sure.
They wanted to be very, very, you know, George W. Bush had some success there. They wanted to grow on the idea of that because the idea was, hey, you know, these are by nature socially conservative folks, and that they're going to fall in line with our grander philosophy here. And obviously, I'm going to tell you this, Tom. I hate to shock you. The president does not agree with that.
No. You're not shocking me, Ro.
We'll see.
No, what happens. It sure doesn't seem that way.
I'm putting together an envelope. Well, our producer is giving me one. I'm going to put all my predictions in a sealed envelope, and we'll release it on Wednesday.
I'm dying to hear what you think. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know. You know, one minute you read a poll and you think one way. I guess the consensus is it's going to be a mixed election, the House and Senate. Now, whether that really works out is going to be fascinating to see.
Yeah.
It probably is.
I'm going to guess that that's going to be the case. That they pick up Republicans pick up a seat or two in the Senate, and and Democrats pick up I think now a fairly sizable chunk of the House. I think that seems to be the way it's trending. All right, we got to run.
Okay.
We got to do these things here. They're telling me. Tom, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, Ro.
Bye, Tom.
Anna, see you later, guys. Let's happy Monday.
Check in with Judy. What's happening at the bottom of the hour?
Illinois' U.S. senators want the state's top doctor gone.
If it's Monday,
you know what happens.
I used to call this recrimination Monday during the John Fox era.
So true.
But now there is some excitement in Bearsville. I mean, there's a moment here that NBC has announced that they are choosing to flex the Bears contest against the Minnesota Vikings. This is their first flex of the season, right?
Their
first game that they have an opportunity to change a day game, because the way Sunday Night Football works is that Sunday Night Football in the last four or five, maybe six, I guess, would be.
Yeah, well, so many people were upset when we had big primetime games, and they were complete duds. It was like, why is this team playing this team this late in the year when they have this much is on the line? They said, well, all right, let's leave those open, and as the season progresses, see how it plays out. They can flex and say, okay, instead of a noon kickoff in Chicago, we have two teams in first and second in the NFC North. Boom. Primetime game, Bears-Vikings in 2 weeks.
Yep. How about that? Great. And it will be of consequence. And Ed Obradovich joins us right now, and OB. I listened to the program yesterday. Immediately after the game, I ran out. I wanted to, you know, go to the grocery store. I've run into Obie at the grocery store, as a matter of fact.
At your favorite grocery store?
Yeah, I refer to it as the Happy Jewel. and I knew I wasn't going to run into you, so I listened to you because I miss you on the weekends.
Yes.
I listened to you, and I swear there was a moment you went on a Blue Vayner rant at Obradovich in which I thought, did the Bears lose that game? Did I miss it? You still don't think that Mitchell Trubisky has what it takes here, do you?
That's correct.
Thank you. That is all right. The witness can step down from the stand.
I'll tell you what. Remember, I said last week you got to congratulate them when they win. They win by hook or crook or whatever. And I remember I said last year we played that a lousy football team, but guess what? We won the game. And then yesterday we played another bad team, the Bills. I mean, they're awful. They're god awful. And now Detroit trades away their number one offensive weapon, Golden Tate, and their quarterback is playing terrible. They're not a good football team, and we got them at home come this Sunday. I mean, the scheduling, the way it's fallen out, couldn't be better. You know, and on the other side, you look at it from the negative side, and we passed for 126 yards in four quarters of football on the eighth game of the season. We passed for 126 yards, and we ran for 64 yards for a total of 190 yards, and we won that football game 41-9.
Yes, it's true. That is a good point.
Bring that one to me.
I believe I heard on your very radio program that it's one of the few football teams in NFL history to win a game with fewer than 200 yards in total offense.
It was astounding. I couldn't. And you know, but what's been happening with the Bears? You know, it's all about the defense. You know, we don't have this defense, everybody. I'm going to tell you what, we'd be in a world of hurt. You know, and the guy that would be in a world of hurt would be Nagy. I mean, our defense is winning the games for us. They're giving us the time and giving us the extra plays to get out there and try and make something happen. And sooner or later, Mitch Trubisky has to put four quarters together and throw like a big-time quarterback. Now, when you saw that game yesterday, you know, and there's nobody on planet Earth that can tell me this kid doesn't have a problem throwing the football. I mean, he throws it high, it floats, it flops. He throws it all. He throws it into the ground yesterday on a 10-yard hook pattern. I mean, come on. That's not supposed to be happening now, especially the eighth game, and this is his second year. You know, sometimes, bro, things are what they are. And we're struggling mightily on offense. And again, thank God for Fangio. And the defense has been playing fantastic. God, I love them. And you know the one guy on the defense that's – they talk about Mack and everybody else and Hicks. The guy that's showing up every week and playing his heart out is Trevathan, our linebacker. He's playing absolutely lights-out football.
He laid a hit yesterday.
That was beautiful.
Where he literally – everybody in that guy's family got hurt. It was like it was one of those. I mean, you know, it's all the crowd. Did you hear? Like there was like, and it wasn't a totally clean hit. I mean, this guy, you're 100% right. And it's Danny Trevathan, by the way. He makes a point of this now where he was – last week he was like, how come after 8 years in the NFL, nobody knows my name?
Sports announcers didn't.
Yeah, everybody's got a different way of pronouncing it. But anyway, so you know, there's an extra I. The I is silent because it so rarely ever is. Here's the issue, though, with – I think the offense. I want to go back to them. You're under. I mean, there's nothing. We can't say anything bad about this defense. Not a single thing. Can we point to really? Because even you got the kids in the secondary who are stepping up. Who are
Eddie Jackson and Fowler? Man, they had some games too.
I was a little angry. I still think there's a little bit too much hijink there with, you know, Eddie Jackson the week before got a stupid penalty that could cost.
I'm gonna tell you what, Eddie Jackson took October off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Believe me, he took October off. He was nowhere to be found back there, but he stepped up yesterday. Thank God.
Well, I think they talked to him right after the game last week, and they were like, listen, you know, you got us a penalty that really could have cost us a game that we need to win. And it was a dumb kind of a thing. You need to be very careful about what you're doing. And the same could be said of the defensive lineman, what's his face, that did the humping thing.
Aaron Lynch.
Aaron Lynch that got it comes down to discipline. And I don't know the coaching staff very well at all, but I just do know this. You got to train your guys to be smart because they are kids. We forget that. They're young guys. And you got to tell them there's protocols here. There are rules. You got to behave when you're out there because these officials will call anything, including you looked at me funny.
Let your play on the field speak for you. But, you know, and here's a kid of all people. He's going to go around and start flash dancing or whatever the heck it is that he thought he was doing. He makes one tackle. Yeah. The guy is invisible out there. You know, that's embarrassing. You know, what? Let your actions do your talking for you on that football field. And that kid, to me, I'd have sat him down. He would not see the field the next game. Believe me, that's if I was the coach. Obviously, I'm not, but a guy like that is not going to embarrass the team, embarrass himself, embarrass the Chicago fans by acting like a big jamoke.
I love that word. That's one of my favorites.
It'll be Roquan Smith had a bad missed tackle in the open field, but overall I thought he was just kind of everywhere flying around there making plays. What have you seen from the rookie so far? Yeah.
Kevin, he's starting to come. He's starting to make things happen. And the one thing that he's using to make things happen, and that's what happened to him in college, is his speed. I mean, this kid's on you now. And that's what he's starting to do. He's starting to figure out what, you know, defense is being called. He's starting to figure out the timing, the running, you know, and it comes with play after play, quarter after quarter, game after game. Kevin, it really does. And some kids can pick it up and take it to the next level. Some can't. He does.
He'd be a star.
I think he's going to be a good one.
I agree. He's going to be a star.
And speaking of someone who's not going to be a star, we may have come to the unofficial end of Kevin White's run here in Chicago. He was healthy, and they scratched him yesterday. Now that the trade deadline's gone and they realized they couldn't get anything for him, they activated a seventh-round pick and Javon Wims and gave him a shot over Kevin White.
Javon Wims in the preseason was a guy that
oh yeah, he was the star of preseason.
We saw him make some catches and we saw him get free in space a couple times. That's a guy that could be for all. They're going to need that, by the way, because I don't know, you know, Taylor Gabriel, that did not look particularly good at the end of the game.
He says he's good.
Yeah, but I mean, these guys all say they're good. Look, Khalil Mack said he was good.
Right.
And we shouldn't have had happen what had happened was. All right, OB, thank you for entertaining me yesterday and making me feel. It is a great Chicago. It was a terrible day out there. Just awful,
yes.
Right? It was, you know, rainy and it got dark early and it was just creepy. And I just felt all warm and fuzzy and fall-like autumnal and happy about the Bears winning and OB being just mad enough to make me feel good about the world.
I agree.
Let me tell you something. This weather, like right now, this is the kind of weather I always love to play. Dick Butkus, we love to play in this weather. Just it's down, it's you get dirty, it's nasty, and you start belting, slugging people. You know, it's a whole lot of fun.
That's true. All right, OB, thanks very much, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good night.
All right, thank you. Bye. Ed Obradovich right there. Sweet Lou Cannell is going to join us. Sweet Lou's going to have to do some explaining.
You were complimenting him so much the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. No.
Some folks some money.
Yeah. Sweet Lou, I'm going to have to talk to Sweet Lou.
Yeah. Vegas took a beating yesterday.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Historic beating.
Well, we seem to have an issue here that needs to be taken care of.
They're not the only ones that are going to be hurting.
I'm just saying, you got till tonight at 11 o'clock to pay.
Unmarked envelope in this particular alley on the south side.
Be by around 11:30 at night.
Knock three times.
All right. Well, hey, by the way, Vic Salerno, you know, who's really not that guy. You'll hear the real Vic Salerno will join us.
Tonight at
6 o'clock.
Very exciting.
To talk about the bad beat Vegas took. But first, let's find out what is happening now in Judy's newsroom.
Time dwindling for campaigning as the clock ticks towards the election.
top right now. Calling number 19 at 312-981-7200. Winning a pair of tickets to the Hawks against the Blues. Next Wednesday, November 14th, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. And listen for your chance to win tickets all regular season long. We're going to be at that game. Details coming up a little bit later on the program about something special that's going on there.
Very
so
cool.
You might, if you're not at that game,
you might want to get at that
you
game.
You might want to get at that game. All right, I have to have a little conversation. I need to speak quietly.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind, if you could just give me a moment
sure.
to speak to my old friend and colleague,
mm-hmm.
Sweet Lou Kanellis.
Don't be buttering me up, buddy.
Who everybody calls him Sweet Lou because I started that. I think that's all true, right?
But it's true. He is Sweet Lou now.
Yeah,
I think
right.
you did start that.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Anna.
Yes, I did, in fact.
Yeah. Anna, you know what Roe's all about here, don't you know?
Lou,
yeah, I can see where he's going. I want to warn you.
Lou, as I seem to recall, and Friday, I count on you to be giving me advice that I can actually use and profit from.
Oh, jeez.
And I seem to recall on Friday
when
you said take the Bears, turned out to be right, but you said the under. And then I said, no, I kind of think it's going to be the over, and then you talked me into the under, and then I with the parlay and the push, I end up losing money. What? How am I supposed to live like this, Lou? How am I supposed to count on you?
You weren't the only one that lost.
Yeah.
Did you see what Vegas lost yesterday?
Our friend Vic Salerno is going to be joining us at 6 o'clock to talk about this. Yeah. It was the
$7 to $10 million, huh?
Yeah, it was one of the worst days for NFL football in Vegas history.
Yes,
and something like 80% of the wagers were on the Chiefs. The Chiefs made some people some money yesterday.
Well, the Bears, the Chiefs, the Panthers, and the Vikings, yeah. and then all the short underdogs.
So did they lose so much money because people didn't believe the Bears were going to win?
Well, not only the Bears, but a lot of people. No. Because a lot of people picked the Bears. So, they took the Bears, Anna, and they laid the 10 points. They took the Chiefs, and I think the Chiefs were laying, what were they losing? They must have been laying like a dozen or 14. I don't know. I didn't look.
No, it was less.
It was only like 8 or 9, and that's why everyone was like, what?
Yeah, because the Bears were the highest
favorites. Yeah, I think it was 8.5 or something like that, the Chiefs won. And everyone was like, okay, we'll play this. Yeah. We'll have fun with this.
You're right. You're right, Ro. The Bears were a double-digit favorite, the highest amongst everyone.
I got to go right now. I just Friday, I need better performance from you. That's all I'm going to say.
I did okay.
I'm going to say
you've done great all season.
All right, I'm just going to say next Friday it was a little better. Okay. All right. Fine. Goodbye, Lou.
Bye, Lou. Goodbye. Bye, sweet Lou.
Goodbye. Judy's got the news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2. Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Coming up, we're going to explain how you can join us at a Hawks game next week in a very special way.
It is special.
Sounding a little creepy, but fun.
No, it won't be. It'll be really not creepy. It'll be super fun.
You want creepy. I got so much creepy in the top 5 of 5. You won't begin to believe how much creepy there is in the top 5 of 5. No, this is a fun. You know how we like enjoy ourselves at the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Hawks.
Yeah.
Well, we got a special enjoyment thing that we're going to be doing here over by enjoying.
Cool.
All right.
Special experience.
Special added enjoyment.
Just don't let that end of the words linger.
They're real beautiful.
Real beautiful.
Real beautiful.
Anna, who does that remind you of on Thursday night on our way out of the restaurant?
There were some guys.
No, remember those guys that were like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Where are you going, beautiful?
Yeah, the crew at the restaurant.
That's a nice way to put it. Yeah.
There was a...
surrounded
that's
us.
Actually an accurate way to put it. That's how the FBI would describe them. When we were leaving Judy's birthday party last Thursday, Judy hasn't been here since she wasn't here on Friday, but and I got to do the top 5 of 5, but I would like to say that when we were leaving the restaurant, it was one of the best nights of my life.
Oh,
we had
it was awesome.
Exactly as I wanted.
Again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was fabulous. Birthday to be. But there were guys sitting at the bar that were just out of this, right out of central casting for this.
Oh, my gosh.
Totally.
Who
it couldn't have been more perfect for, to end the night.
Came
almost
up
blocked the entrance as we were
right.
leaving. Hey,
Judy and Anna,
where
hey,
going?
Where
are
you going? How you doing? What are you doing? The beautiful women. Look how beautiful you are.
And surprisingly, they were ahead of us in terms of what they had had to drink at the bar.
Yeah, yeah. Which is very hard to believe.
And they had just got there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I said, we saw this as we were ahead of you, and as we were heading out, I heard that, where are you going?
I know.
And I'm like, uh-oh. Yeah. I go, we won't be seeing them no more.
I was surprised at the amount of chains, gold chains. I didn't know they did.
Still a yeah. thing. It's still a thing.
Apparently.
On the northwest side of Chicago, still a thing. God bless. It was a beautiful night.
It was. Thank you again.
It was a beautiful night. You're welcome. All right, let's do this.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
Okay, so one of the big races tomorrow mm-hmm. is in Texas, right? You got Ted Cruz.
Yes.
Against Beto O'Rourke, or as he was known in high school, Bobby.
Right. Beto. Interesting.
So, talking to supporters in Pearland, Texas, near his hometown.
Pearland, yeah, it's right outside Houston.
Pearland.
Mm-hmm.
That's called Pearland.
It's called Pearland.
Pearland, Texas, he says, Ted Cruz does, that freedom, it is on the ballot.
Free speech gives you the right to speak out the truth, or it gives you the right to get on a skateboard. Either one, the First Amendment protects you. Religious liberty, just like free speech, it protects everyone, regardless of your faith, whether you're Christian or Jewish or Muslim or atheist or vegetarian.
He's just so not likable. Why?
I don't like vegetarians, though.
I can tell.
Don't tell us how you feel about vegans.
Because I don't feel like you get... See, when you have, like, pulled pork, and you get all of the fat and the juices going down your throat all at the same time, yeah. Sauce chins, get all over your lips and your chin.
Just add some drippy cheese queso to that, and you've got yourself a meal.
How does Senator Cruz say the word beautiful?
Not supposed to say that anymore.
Now, I just wondered, does freedom of speech also apply to when Donald Trump called his father a murderer, one of the murderers of Ted Kennedy? Is that okay too?
You can't claim someone's a murderer anymore. You can't claim they're a murderer.
You can't falsely claim someone's a murderer anymore.
Definitely not a beautiful murderer.
It's all beautiful. Just ask Vic.
Oh, man. Yes. Yes.
Ted Cruz also said in an interview that the liberals will crawl over broken glass to show up to the polls, making him even less likable.
What does that mean?
When they crawl over broken glass, it all hurts real bad, doesn't it? Doesn't it hurt? Oh, it stings.
Ew.
Oh, yeah, make it sting.
No.
Oh, gosh.
That gave me goosebumps, I think, in a bad way.
And all he's doing is quoting him. That's what's interesting. It's not nothing. It's out of context. I don't think.
Oh, man.
I saw that in a movie one time on my iPad where there was this lady and she was crawling all over the floor and she was like dressed up like a dog. And she was crawling all over the floor.
She was going to vote?
And she was, and then she hurt herself. And then this mean man, he tied her to get her to stand up all straight because she was on the floor.
Sounds like one of those videos your campaign staffers liked on Twitter. Remember that whole thing? Not you, your campaign staffer who liked that video.
Yes, I wasn't watching that. That movie about Casey and Dan coming over to the house and Dan's stepdaughter all kind of all up in Dan's face. I didn't watch that movie. And poor Casey, she just lost the keys to her car and had to stay. And he just invited her. And then all of a sudden she started taking off her clothes.
To find her keys.
That's right. She's just trying to find the keys. And then Dan and Casey, they just, oh, when I had their way.
All right. Now you think that's something? Wait to hear this.
Number four.
Here's the president in Cleveland, Ohio, talking about his daughter.
Now, I don't know. They'll say this is nepotism. But the truth is, she's a very, very, you're not allowed to use the word beautiful anymore when you talk about women. You're not allowed. No, no. It's politically incorrect. No, no. It's politically, I will never call a woman beautiful again. And every man here, raise your hand. You will never, ever say your wife, your girlfriend, anybody is beautiful, right? Okay. So I'm not allowed to say it because this is my daughter, Ivanka, but she's really smart.
Oh, she happens to be smart, too. Well, why is she smart?
Thank you for having me here. Thank you, Ohio. We love you.
Okay. All right. I never said she was beautiful. But she was smart. I'll tell you what. Always, like, a great student. Always a great student. And I remember when she graduated from the Wharton School of Finance, some of her classmates came up and said, I don't know if I like this. They said, Mr. Trump, she doesn't even try and she gets great marks. She gets these great marks. And there's something okay about that, too. But she has been a wonderful daughter. I have to tell you, she's been a wonderful, wonderful daughter.
Part of that's just praising her. It's just, I don't know, the whole thing about the beautiful. Yeah. What does it mean?
I don't know. I like, though, at the end there was that sop to the notion that you get good grades and you don't try hard. And that's the kind of people that he likes.
He's like, that's okay.
That's okay. I like that, too. Two. I've noticed this thing he's been doing in the campaigns where now all of a sudden he downglides on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats are going to vote for communists. They're going to let all of the bad people in. It's like a whole, he's waiting because he kind of gets under so that the applause rolls over him mm-hmm. on it. It's really, it's interesting to watch. He is
the showman.
He is a showman. But I will say this. I just think the whole thing with Ivanka is weird on the level. I get being a proud dad and all that. I get all that. Mm-hmm. That I'm totally down with. It's the fact that she's like in charge of really important stuff. And this isn't like if a Democrat had done it, if anybody else had done it. Right? It would have been kind of weird. It just would have been kind of weird. But somehow it's okay when he does it because it's sort of like it's like people are like that's what we're going to complain about. We're going to complain about that.
There's a few things up the list from that.
Jared is in charge of Middle East peace. We're going to complain about that. All right, let's talk. Let's talk to Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
The case against three Chicago police officers in the Laquan McDonald case will not be dismissed.
Early morning, stay safe, stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast, Sarah Gindra's traffic reports, weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN-TV Morning News.
All right, here we go. Continue on Top 5-5.
Number 3.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Ariana Grande dropped a surprise single. Thank you. Next. On Saturday, where she addressed her past failed relationships and even name-dropped Pete Davidson. And then some of the other guys she was involved with. And Mac Miller, the guy who ended up ending his own life, right?
Yeah.
When she was dating Pete Davidson. Turns out that she made sure that she let her exes listen to the track before releasing it, obviously, with the exception of Mac.
Thought I'd end up with Sean. But it wasn't a match. Wrote some songs about Ricky. Now I listen and laugh. Even almost got married. And for Pete, I'm so thankful. Wish I could say thank you to Malcolm. Cause he was an angel. One taught me love. One taught me patience. And one taught me pain. Now I'm so amazing.
So am I supposed to assume from this
yeah.
that she's Is she taking a shot at Pete Davidson
there? No, I think she's...
Or just saying how much she loved...
Yeah, I think it's an ode to her exes, which is weird because the title would suggest Thank You Next. It's like, all right, moving on from you, whatever, sort of, you know, kind of taking a shot, as you say. But no, she's saying this is about like, hey, you know, you kind of learn something from everyone you're with and on to the next part of life.
Oh, is that what you're supposed to do?
That's what she's saying it's about. And I didn't listen to all the lyrics, but in interviews, she says it's very much respectful.
Well, Pete Davidson was on Saturday Night Live, and he addressed it at the end of the Weekend Update.
So funny you should mention that.
And the last thing I will say is, I know some of you are curious about the breakup, but the truth is, it's nobody's business, and sometimes things just don't work out, and that's okay. She's a wonderful, strong person, and I genuinely wish her all the happiness in the world. Now, please go vote on Tuesday, all right?
She got out at the right time with his major gaffe on set. Are we going to get to that in the top five here?
We are. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
But we're not going to. Yeah, that's a really stupid thing that he did in his.
Very disrespectful.
Making fun of the way that people look, you know, these candidates. And I know we make fun of the way people are, but they're big enough. Ted Cruz could certainly dish it out. He's fine. He can defend himself.
A Navy SEAL who served several tours of duty nearly went blind, kind of listing him as your gross candidates in your first impressions.
Yeah, because the guy's got an eye patch. So, and he even acknowledged that he's a guy that was a war hero, but whatever is what he said.
Yeah.
I see Pete Davidson not on next year's cast of Saturday Night Live.
That's what you're seeing.
They only kept him on this year's cast because he was dating Ariana Grande all the way up to.
Number two.
All right. First Take is on the road in Dallas today, and Michael Irvin joined for what would wind up being an outrageous sports shouting.
Tonight, right here in Dallas, we see the dawn of a new day, the beginning of a new age, and a time where the Cowboys will rightfully regain and take their proper spot among kings. Do you hear me? Regain and take their proper spot among the kings.
He was sweating so much.
You know, this just tells you that people don't have enough to do. Honest to God, how many people were at this thing? It was like a Trump rally, except it was about Ezekiel Elliott. All right, and finally.
Number one.
Mike Parker, longtime CBS 2 anchor and reporter, has died. He also worked in New York and Los Angeles. He found a home here. He had been covering this market since 1981. He was one of the great reporters I have ever had the privilege of working with or knowing. He covered everything from the Iran hostages for the network all the way down to Governor Rob Blagojevich. He took no prisoners. He was one of the best writers I had ever known, one of the most decent human beings. And, most importantly, took the time to work in a very busy business to help young writers and reporters and journalists get to know their craft. There are very few like Mike Parker.
What is it about you that you think really connected with the viewers and the people of Chicago?
Well, here again, I think it's my belief that my role was to not only report the facts, but report them in such a way that it made for a compelling narrative, a story that would fascinate the viewer.
Mike Parker was 75.
The top five at five.
Coming up, Vic is going to join us. A real one.
Vic Salerno.
Vic Salerno. Vegas took a bad beat yesterday. Very, very bad.
Games didn't turn out how everyone expected. However, Tom Brady did beat Aaron Rodgers, which I was very happy to see.
It's a great day when the Bears win and the Packers lose. Beautiful day.
Yes, that is true. It is. All right, A.B. Stoddard is joining us, and this is the Monday before the midterm elections of 2018, a day that many Democrats have been waiting for exactly 730 days. And the big question is, and this I find this interesting, AB. You tell me what you think of this number. CNN has got a statistic that 70% of the people they polled, 7 out of 10, are voting tomorrow to send a message to Donald Trump.
Yeah, I thought that number wasn't really an encouraging one for Republicans. I mean, that's a pretty strong number. But, you know, maybe he's going to turn out some people that he told at rallies. You know, the election really is a referendum on him, and maybe they're sending, you know, their thanks, and they're going to turn out at the polls because he keeps begging them to. And maybe that will help some Republicans. But if you just look at the whole landscape, some people on some around campaigns have been telling me that these last 4 to 5 days have been really, it's pretty much a consensus that Trump going overboard on the caravan and the birthright citizenship and the restricting asylum and all these fake executive orders that he talks about, let alone that ad that went, you know, around, went viral, really set them back a couple of percentage points in Senate races and really made the House Republicans defending suburban seats feel more exposed. So it's going to be an interesting day after in terms of what you just cited, that poll number, and then what we learn from exit polls, and we, you know, what we learn about energy and turnout, and of course the outcome. Be really interesting to see what kind of accountability Republicans lay at the hands of President Trump.
All right, now that's assuming that Democrats do well.
Right.
What if, on the other hand,
look, and I think Republicans could absolutely hold on to the House. I absolutely believe that they can.
The House of Representatives.
I don't think it's likely, but I think they can.
Okay, so you see a pathway. I mean, there's obviously a pathway because there's, you know, voters, and so you never know how it's going to go. But let's take a look at that. Let's say on Wednesday they do hold on.
Well,
what does that say about American politics? If Donald Trump. Did Donald Trump's style of politics, forget to take Donald Trump the man out of it, but the style of politics that include, you know, really aggressive criticism of your political opponents and vilification of them, demonization of them, and a lack of fidelity to fact, is that going to be American politics moving forward?
So that is definitely going to be a really disturbing signal about what is rewarded and what is confronted. And Democrats, I'm very Debbie Downer on the Democrats voting in midterms, and I'm sure I have been on your show. They're going to have to prove me, you know, wrong, but they don't turn out in midterm elections as a coalition. They don't turn out in strong numbers the way that the Republican coalition does. Old people who are white, who are conservative, love midterm elections, but Latinos and kids and African Americans don't turn out in strong enough numbers in midterm elections. So if they really do participate in really enthusiastic numbers, and they still they come up short, Democrats are absolutely terrified. Party leaders and officials are terrified that the party will just sort of turn away, that they win popular votes in presidential elections and still lose them, that they will just totally cut out in apathy and real anger. And Democrats are very nervous about that fact. What it will say about the president's coalition is that he has an incredibly zealous following that will do whatever he says, even when he's on the ballot, and that his strongman tactics and all of his contortions and distortions and lies are no longer the liability that we thought that they were. And so that's going to be a huge statement. He would take that as a resounding victory if he wins by 3 seats in the House and they hold on to barely a majority, and I feel that he will be really emboldened and liberated in ways that we, you know, well, we've talked about this, that people have probably not sat around really imagining yet. But,
all right. Well, there's a lot of this that I didn't sit around imagining. Even after he was elected, I thought, well, all right, he's not going to do this. He's not going to make Jared in charge of Middle East peace. I mean, that would be ridiculous. I mean, there was a whole list of things that he has done and said. But done. I mean, it's, you know, in terms of policy, you know, there's a lot of Republicans that go, well, I like what he's doing. But the only things that he's really done that affect Republicans or Americans in great numbers, obviously, there's the tax reform that, you know, the House wrote and that, you know, he got across the finish line, even though he didn't, I think, fully understand what was in it. And he got the two, and clearly, you know, he nominated and then got through two Supreme Court justices. That's huge for conservatives. Mm-hmm. What is maybe less important to conservatives on the ground, to Mr. and Mrs. Wilmette, Mr. and Mrs. DuPage County, those conservatives, there are things that the government is doing in terms of deregulation that don't affect them in a good way. That affects maybe a business that they've worked for or a stock that they're invested in a good way, but may have long-term ramifications in terms of, you know, business operations, how, you know, how people are treated in their own workplaces, or how companies can treat the environment or their workers, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some things in here that are going to have longer term ramifications. Now, most of them are done by executive order, and then, you know, you're going to have this fight every 4 or 8 years. You're going to have this fight about undoing what the last guy just did by executive order, but I think last week, you know what hurt him by 2 points for sure last week was when he said he wanted to change the Constitution by executive order. That I think, I mean, who would have ever thunk that you'd hear an American president say that?
Well, and I think the other point is that you saw Speaker Ryan, the reports that he urged and begged the president in these last 48 hours to please focus on the economy, because there's a real positive story to tell there that hasn't been the one that the president has chosen to focus on in this. He's been focusing on immigration, and you look at the House and those independent, those swing voters you were talking about, that they may not feel as strongly about that issue as voting with your pocket. Book voting about being happy about where we are with our economy. But I don't see in these rallies, AB, I don't know if you're seeing something different, that he has changed at all to focus on that message.
He's said a little bit more on the economy today, sort of a perfunctory, you know, response to the speaker's urgent phone call of Sunday, but he also has said, I believe yesterday, I can't really spend too much time on it because we all know that it's going so well and we really have to talk about problems. And basically he even described how the crowd doesn't respond like it does to immigration, and he's there and it's just like what they've got to talk about. And it's very obvious. He, first of all, it is a great economic story to tell, and of course he should be running on it, and that would really help Republicans. But he wants the fight, and that's why I don't really believe he's ever going to sit down and do an immigration deal, because he wants that fight.
Right.
And he always wants to keep it going. And Bill Stepien, one of his political advisors in the White House, said, you know, the enemy of voter turnout is voter satisfaction. Corey Lewandowski was quoted in the New York Times, you know, months ago saying, voters don't come to the polls to thank you, like, for their tax cut, right? They come because they're enraged or they're panicked about something. And so that's the closing argument that is going to be so tough for Republicans on the House side, where the closing argument should be appealing to voters in these districts where either Trump won by 3% or Hillary won them. This is not Trump country they're defending. And so they needed to close the argument without fear and not a reminder that the president makes up executive orders that don't exist and tax cuts that don't exist like he did 2 weeks ago. But really, you know, this is a strong economy, let's not go back. That kind of a message that you would see from, like, an RNC tweet, you know?
Very, very, very powerful message. And I think that even moderate Democrats are going to stop and go, maybe, right? I mean, they worry about. But, you know, it appears to me that the president is not a fan of the Frankenstein series of movies, because he's not familiar with the fact that the angering crowd, though, wants to chase with their pitchforks and their torches tiki though they may be, the great monster of the unknown, the great monster that they fear, that eventually that angering crowd will turn on them. And that is the history, that is the lesson that history has taught us.
But and, you just believe so strongly that this is a cult of his personality, loyal to him no matter what. He believes that. That's what they tell him. And when, you know, all this anecdotal evidence from these rallies, when you say, when people, there was a great one today on Twitter that Clyde Haberman tweeted where this woman goes, I don't believe much of what he says, I just trust him. Like, whatever he says is fine. You know, it's just, he really believes that they believe that they were going to buy that a tax cut was coming, that the caravan is coming to invade the homeland, all that stuff. Even when they don't, he just has accepted that they're so loyal to him, and it's a cult built around him and just him.
Or that
his
he
attitude,
will...
his style, you know.
Right, but again, we you know that's again the history lesson of. You know, first he came for the Mexicans because they were rapists. Then he, you know, pulled the kids away. Did all the different things that people can point to. And then eventually he will cut. If you don't show complete fidelity to him, and sometimes like on pre-existing conditions, for example, if he wants to take those away, then they're not going to take them away. They're just going to make it so that if you do have pre-existing conditions, you're going to have to pay for them. In a very significant way in your insurance, right? That's what's going to be offered. It's not that they're going to take away pre-existing conditions. They're going to take away the protection to get insurance under any circumstances or at the same rates or similar rates than if you didn't have pre-existing conditions. But
that's sort of the first, this is the first true test of his coalition. In some polling, we're seeing white voters peel away a little bit. And that might be coming from healthcare. If white non-college women stay home, that might be because of healthcare. Might be because of healthcare. So that's going to be a very interesting test.
You have diabetes.
Whether or not some pocketbook issue finally separates them from him.
Right, because people with diabetes are going to. It's going to change how they are going to live with the insurance. If they go to just a total market-based concept here. That's the thing. That's what Obamacare was trying to do. That's what Republicans were trying to do in the 1970s. They're trying to create a way that people can afford to pay for medical advancements, you know, by spreading out the risk.
Right.
And that's gonna change dramatically. All right, AB, we're gonna have to leave it there. Where will you be working tomorrow night?
I'm actually giving a speech on Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So I'm flying there tomorrow afternoon.
Oh wow!
So I'll just be fidgeting in a hotel room with like. TV on and a million papers all around my bed trying to figure this out. Time for the next morning.
Yeah. I'm actually working at the Fox station here for election night, and I'm keeping a bottle of Jack Daniels by my side. That's how I'm going to do it. And just during the commercial breaks, I'm going to, you know, totally Ron Burgundy that mother and just, you know, keep slugging it back.
Even on air.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will see you guys on the other side.
All right. Sounds thanks. Good, AB. Thanks, AB.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, bye. Hope we don't have to quote ourselves from this interview. Remember when I said? All right, let's check in now with Judy. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
The Trump administration wants the country's highest court to bypass an appeals court on DACA.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, but who's asking?
Who's asking? So it was good. It was a good day because the Bears won, and then it was a bad day because something else happened to you, Ro.
Well,
didn't go as planned on another
front.
Some
things did not go as planned. I made some investments, and the investment didn't exactly pay off. And so Vic Salerno, who we've been talking about ever since the first time we had him on the show.
Yeah, he's been a character on the show without knowing it.
Vic is a director of sportsbook operations for BetChicago.com, amongst other things. Mm-hmm. I mean, Vic is a very busy guy. But it's BetChicago. I use that every weekend because it gives you good, there's good analysis and also inside tips and things that happen.
Right.
That, you know, injury reports and things like that. The kinds of things that people who wager on sports professionally and the bookmakers themselves set the lines by, and then the bettors watch it and the lines move, and the lines moved yesterday. We should explain this, Vic, because I think people think that the odds makers just make the lines and that's it. It's really, the odds are based on how the money's coming in on any particular game, right?
Yeah, that's for sure, Rob. How are you guys doing? How's Anna doing?
She's doing real good, Nick.
Life is good.
All right, so as the odds, all right, so let's talk about it. So yesterday there was a, as they like to say in the business, a real bad beat. Real bad beat for Vegas, for the house.
Oh, yeah. I'd say the state of Nevada lost upwards of $10 million on yesterday's games. And, boy, I'm sure the bookmakers, oh, that's right, there's none in Chicago, but I'm sure they lost, too, a lot. And then the bookmakers, the legal ones in Mississippi, now they must have lost to the Saints beating the Rams. And so it was not a good day for us, as long as the Chiefs are in Kansas City's killing us every week. And people, that, regardless of what we make the spread, they keep betting them. So it's been very difficult for us the last couple of weeks.
So let's explain the mathematics of that. All right, so you got Kansas City, which is just so much fun to watch. Right. And Patrick Mahomes has drawn the attention of the entire football nation, right? That everybody wants to see this kid play. And so what happens is if 80% of the bettors are betting on Kansas City, Like on a Friday, before the Sunday game. On a Friday, if 80% are going, you're going to move the line up. You're going to say that Kansas City is going to win by more so that you try to inspire people to go to their opposition. But you're saying that thing, but that, did that ever get bet up over 10 yesterday?
Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, sometimes you just see the people don't care. They know they're going to win. They don't care if they got a real 8-10 or 10 or 11. At one of our places, we went up to 11.5, and people were still weighing it. So it really, it varies, and it's really local also. This week they're going to play Arizona, and, you know, they're like a 17.5 point favorite. So, and I don't know if that's going to stop the people.
I don't know. Although let me speak to Vic like a better. He's do. He's got to be do. I mean, there's no way he's not going to cover. He's in it. What about a 17 and a hook? Oh, jeez, what the?
So they're saying Nevada sports betting, Vic, lost to $10 million, which is, I don't know, it sounds like it was close to a record, or it was certainly a really big hit. Typically bookmakers are the ones on the winning side, just like Vegas. Is that right? I don't know too much about this.
Oh, yeah. Over the long run, historically, yes, we'll win about 5% of all the wagers that we accept. Yesterday, it just happened to be like the perfect storm, and all the teams that the public loves won, including now your Bears, if they have a good team. And when they start parlaying them between the Bears, the Patriots, and the Chiefs, that starts adding up to bigger payouts and losses.
So what's the ripple effect here with the actual bookmakers in Vegas? I mean, what when they have a day like this, what do they do on Monday morning? Who's getting yelled at? Who's getting moved around?
We put up next week and start accepting bets on next week's game. It's like you get over it quick, and it'll be ancient history in another couple of days.
Hey, Vic, as we like to say in the NFL, there's always Monday night. Although I would imagine there might be some guys showing up at some guys, you know, in town who got to show up at 11:30 at night at a guy's house and go, okay, I need the money right now. I need it right now.
Well, I don't know. I'd be a little bit worried about my bookmaker paying me. You guys better get to them early tomorrow morning, not wait until Tuesday.
Tuesday morning's bad. I'll meet you at work. What? All right. Hey, let me ask you now. All right, so as sports gambling is being debated here in Illinois, and once we get past tomorrow and the, you know, whoever the governor is going to be and all that, this you know, this is something that I think a lot of people want as a convenience as opposed to it necessarily the boon to the tax rolls here to the budget. But on a day like this, I mean, theoretically, you could look at Illinois in terms of if Illinois is taking a piece off the top of all of this. They're protected on a bad beat, right?
No, not really. How are they protected? They're going to have to pay if they're going to be competitive. If the state's going to have a stomach for this. I mean, this is a difficult business to be in when you have days like yesterday. And, I mean, in the state of Illinois, if we lost $10 million yesterday, the state of Illinois probably could go five times that. As a loss, which would mean they have about $50 million in loss. They got there's nothing saying next week they can't win $100 million. But it is a roller coaster.
But if I understand it, what they want to do is they just want to tax the winnings on this thing, right?
Well, yeah, but you have to have winnings.
Yeah, but and the win, but do you think they're going to allow writing off the losses?
Well, of course, it's your net win over the whole year. Wouldn't be your net win just, you know, when you won. You gotta, if I lose $50 million today and then tomorrow win $100 million, I'm only going to pay taxes on the $50 million.
Yeah, as a professional, yeah. But I'm saying that aren't we talking about, in the state of Illinois, a transaction tax that on every bet there's going to be juice to the state? Pardon the expression.
No, it's not a transaction. It will be taxed on the win, the amount that's won over month to month with carrybacks and carry forwards. Wow. So that's how it will be. It's not going to be like on the federal government, every bet that we take, we have to pay 0.25%, regardless of whether we win or lose. In the state of Illinois, Nevada, most states are just one of what you win, that's what you pay. Your profit is what you pay the taxes on.
Well, that's interesting. I know New Jersey's seen a lot of success with this, and the other states are sort of modeling what could be based on what's happening there. Do you get any sense for how much that is making for the state, just on the amount of betting, sports betting that's happening in Jersey?
Well, yes, they're writing in the millions of dollars, and they do a little bit differently. They take all the bets and they count the wins as the bets are placed, and they don't even, for example, if you bet on the Bulls to win the NBA championship today, right, that won't be decided till next June. But they take it as a win today, and then if the Bulls happen to win, they take it off as a loss next year. So the states always want to get their money first.
Yeah, that's a good bet right there. Wants to make a bet about that, that's okay. That's going to be okay.
Right there with death and taxes, right?
Yeah.
That you can count on them. They're not going to. So, but my point is that the Illinois state, the state has to look at it in the long run and get it. It's happening now, and we all know that. We need to get it passed through the legislature there so that the state can start making money. They're not going to lose money, that's for sure, over the long run. So they better let companies get going, racetracks, et cetera, casinos, have sports betting.
Hey, Vic, I just need your advice on something. Tonight, you got the Cowboys laying 5.5, and that doesn't seem like enough to me. That just doesn't seem like enough.
Do you think you're going to win by more than 5.5?
I think I'm going to win by more than 5.5. That's why I'm looking at Bet Chicago right now. It's Cowboys -5.5. The over-under is 40.5 for the game.
Right.
And
go ahead.
And it's Tennessee, right? And I don't. And the Cowboys are playing at home. I mean, I got to figure. It's got to be at least a touchdown, right? Right? Right?
I don't know. No. Because sometimes snakes jump up and bite you. And for all the books are really rooting for Tennessee tonight. So it's going to be another bad day if the Cowboys win this. I'll tell you that.
Oh God, we can't have that. Oh guys. Oh, these guys, poor guys. There's nothing. Well, these are working stiffs right here, man.
Yes. Nobody cries for us.
A sports book in New Jersey had a payout in an 11-team parlay yesterday, netted over $10,000 for the better.
Wow!
How much did he bet?
$8.68 hitting 11-team parlay. The odds of hitting that 1,259 to 1.
Eleven teams should be more like 2,090 to 1, should it?
Well, I'm just telling you what I've got here.
It does the math really quickly, Vic. Wow.
This is one thing Vic can do. Mr. and Mrs. Salerno, when they were raising Vic, it's the one thing they knew. Was, look how fast he is with numbers.
He's got a gift.
He's good with numbers.
Look at that.
Yeah.
If I
could
only tell you.
All right, Vic.
Guys keep having fun.
Yeah, we will.
Anytime.
Thank you, Vic. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Vic.
Thanks, Vic.
Yeah, I hope you next time you're going to call me when we win a lot.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we'd like to. I need your. Although you just scared me off of off of this. I was gonna just take him on the on. can buy. But I was going to buy up to seven because I figured, what am I going to get for that? Look at me. How crazy am I?
I love it.
Goodbye.
Good luck to you, but watch out for the tights. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Goodbye. All right.
It's like a whole language.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I understand any of it.
I don't understand any of it, but I want a piece of it. I'm going to get into this.
Yeah, this guy, that'll end well. Yeah.
I feel like Vic should have been at dinner with us Thursday night. He would have fit right.
Yes, he would have. That was the kind of
thing. I feel
like
he would have kept disappearing, coming back, disappearing.
Yeah, I got to check my phone. Hold on.
Vic's got like
16 phones on him at any given time.
They're ringing. He doesn't know which pocket it's in.
Seems like one of those guys that talks in like hushed tones really right. well.
You know? On landline still.
Oh, God, the Warriors aren't going to cover. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
I think he would have had the chicken parm.
Yeah, for sure.
Or the veal parm. That was one of their specials. Mm.
Or the baked clams.
Mm. Those are good.
Yeah, Vic, I don't want the wine. I gotta keep a clear head in a situation like this.
Judy, he could have hung out with the guys we met on the way out.
Right, yeah.
The boys at the bar.
Yeah.
That might have been with
him.
Yeah,
his
maybe
name
it
Vic?
Was him. No, his name was Billy.
So what do you do? I make book.
Where you's going?
Yeah, well, come on in. We need to talk about a few things. Make book. All right. Well, anyway, Vic is... I'm still going. I mean, yeah, this is a thought. Uh-huh. I'm still going to say that the Cowboys are going to win by more than 5.5 tonight. Why is the nation... I don't understand this.
Both 3-4. Cowboys haven't been overwhelming.
This is their
I like the Cowboys tonight, too.
This is their turnaround game.
Got Amari Cooper's first game with the Cowboys.
Yeah. It's going to be Cowboys.
Tony Romo still with them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's in the broadcast booth.
Don't detail her. She doesn't need details. All right, let's. I said 5.5, and you know what? I'm gonna go on the over. I'm gonna go the 5.5, and I got $2 at a par. Where's Lou? I need to get Lou on the phone.
Sweet Lou, who you decided wasn't so sweet because he didn't do you right.
Well, he owes me. Because I'm gonna be the guy showing up at his house at work. I am showing up at his work tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right.
Show up at his new restaurant.
Yeah. Hey, where's Lou? I need to talk to Lou about something. I'm out in the Crown Vic outside in case you need me.
Gee.
All right. What do you got here, Judy? At the bottom of the hour.
Will voter enthusiasm continue through tomorrow?
Has never been darker outside than it is right now.
Gee, we noticed it at like 4:45 when suddenly it did. It was dark downtown, but now, oh my gosh,
sun went down at 4:40. What is going?
Looking forward to seeing the sun in about 5 months. Yeah.
Bye, sun.
Yeah,
it's good seeing you.
Nice.
Knowing
miss you.
Nice to know and use. the sun does not set. Until after 5 o'clock, until February.
Oh, gosh.
Just letting you know.
Great month.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. The countdown begins.
It's my birthday month.
It's 3 months away.
And we do start celebrating that early, so it'll help us transition.
Why? Why? Why?
I think I'm going to plan my own birthday party, though, for the show this year.
You don't like the way that Ro does them? Last
year you didn't do one, so yeah, I'm going to say I'll just take it upon myself.
We didn't do one last year for your birthday?
Negative.
Oh my gosh.
I know, I felt really bad when I heard that.
It's okay, this year will be bigger and better. 2 years combined into one.
We celebrated all of our birthdays.
That's what? True, because I planned all your birthday parties.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. No, I do feel bad.
Let me just...
We had an issue. We had an incident.
What was the incident?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But we had something... It was particularly bad.
It's okay. It was a bad year for me in general. I'm looking forward to this year.
You say that every year.
What was so bad about your year?
Yeah.
Well, when have you had a bad year?
No, just in general, birthday celebration wise, it was one of my least favorites.
Oh, yeah. So that's when it goes bad.
Will this be one of your big years, your next birthday?
No.
Oh, well.
It's getting very close to the big 3-0. I don't like that.
Oh, my God.
I found 2 gray hairs today.
That's because you plan so many parties. Besides your own.
And I she get found, 7 gray hairs a year.
Yeah, she found him at the bar at Tavern, hitting on her. No, thank you.
Fell onto her.
I still feel badly that we did not plan a party for you.
No, it's fine. I really didn't mean it like that.
Oh, gosh.
We had a thing.
Yeah, it was a busy
What was
month.
The thing?
It's
Something
a short
kept
month.
Coming up, and then by the time
President's
we knew it, it was
Day.
Already like June.
Yeah,
and you know, we had gone too far.
Yeah.
It's kind of rude of us.
Right. No, it wasn't all us.
Who was it?
She had scheduling issues, too.
You're going to blame it on me? Yeah.
Well, you plan yourself a fabulous party this
right.
time.
And we'll come.
Oh,
and
I know exactly where it's
going
to be.
Where are we going?
And you guys owe
Concrete
it
Cowboy?
To me.
Concrete
Cowboy? Oh, no. Please, no.
Oh, my God. I feel like we're going to Mexico or somewhere.
Concrete Cowboy
would
gonna
be
something.
Is this going to cost Ro a lot of moolah?
No.
Oh, well, why not?
I'm not going to be able to... I'm actually... Revenue negative on this on the show at this moment, so that's why I augmented with Vic and a little side business.
Sure. So are we rooting for Dallas tonight or Tennessee?
Yeah,
what do we need?
We're rooting for
as
Dallas
a show.
We're
okay.
for
the next
Dallas.
Party.
Dallas, we need Dallas. We need Dallas real bad.
Oh God, I'm really going to get into this. If yeah.
no birthday for
this
you,
is how it started
Dallas has
Violetta.
To win by
Dallas,
how many?
Right, they got to win by 5.5. They got to win by 6.
Okay, well then that's what it's going to take.
Right.
Oh, I'm nervous. Lots at stake.
You couldn't get him at 4.5, huh?
Not according to this.
Not according to this guy. My guy.
You don't mess around with Vic.
Anyway, so the point is that if they... listen, I'll buy you something real nice.
If Dallas covers.
Dallas covers.
It sounds like the difference between caviar and, avocado
right.
toast.
Yeah, it's,
right.
yeah the difference between caviar and running for your life is what it's the difference.
And doing the dishes.
Yeah, right. exactly.
Well, good luck, Violetta.
Yeah,
thanks.
I hope it works out.
Yeah, me too. Right.
This is desperate.
Go Dallas.
Go Dallas.
All right.
We'll take some prayers tonight.
Yeah, figured out. Yeah, we got it. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, it's... I was just pointing out the fact that it's really
dark
super dark outside.
Yeah.
We got to get used to this. And then people wonder, now, so, when you live in Chicago, it's such a beautiful city, why do people complain? This is why!
Mm-hmm.
This
time
moment
of year.
Right here!
Mm-hmm.
They got to do, we're talking about doing away with this. We got to finally do away with this. This makes no sense, daylight saving time.
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst. I almost hate it more than the cold temperatures.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Cold is fine. I mean, just think about this. The sun, if there were no daylight saving time change.
Right.
We just lived in what we call daylight savings time. Saving time.
Are you trying to inception this?
Yeah. Well, people they're talking about this. They're I'm like the president. They're talking about this.
People are saying.
Many people are saying.
They.
Many people don't know. People don't know.
Right. So they.
Lincoln was a Republican. Did you know that?
I did not know that. That there is. They want to do away with it because essentially, the sun would never go down until after 5 o'clock here. Which is that is a gentlemanly time for the sun to go down in the worst of circumstances.
Right. Tomorrow, 4:39 p.m.
Like today,
that's not the right time.
Right now, it's supposed to be 7:42.
No, it's not.
Yeah, because we fell back an hour.
Oh right, if
so, we would be home already.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Right. Exactly. This is it's really 7:42. You should live like that. You should not show up here till 4 o'clock.
Ro told me there's no daylight savings
anymore. In protest. Yes, in protest of this. You're just going to stay in that time.
Anyway, the point is that we should do away with it. Now, it would make the mornings, people would be commuting it in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
We get up at noon.
But that's nice.
Who cares about them?
Yeah.
They start late.
Yeah.
No one wants to drive with the sun anyway. It's just distracting in the morning.
More traffic. Get some people's eyes.
Right. Yeah.
Sunshine delays. We know about these things.
Yes. Yeah. We're experts in this area. Come on.
So this would be better on your way. And on your way home, you have more time.
And you get to enjoy the sunset.
Yeah, you get the golden hour in the summer. That's the best time of the day.
Yeah.
So many Instagram. No, just kidding.
Now you blink and it's dark out. You're like, well, I missed the whole everything. The sunset. I didn't see
it. All right.
It.
So I'm on a one-man crusade. If I could change one thing. If I ran for office, I would have only one platform.
You have my vote.
And that is getting rid of the time change and just staying on the more light time change, the later light, later sundown.
Mm-hmm.
Staying
like
on saving
that.
On daylight saving time.
Just in time for the election tomorrow, you are coming to the table.
I'm a little late with this, but if you people would like to write me in on that, for
you know, what? What office?
All of them.
Mayor?
Just write me in on
Throw yourself in the mayor race with 20 others?
Susana Mendoza. You can't run for them all.
All you really need is a referendum. You don't have to run. Just get a referendum.
Yeah, I want a referendum. I want, but it has to be a federal thing. They don't do that at the
Well,
feds.
Go to every state and try to do it.
Yeah, a constitutional amendment.
Perfect.
That's what I'm going to do.
I'm in. You have my vote.
How hard is that?
Yeah. Apparently not. Apparently it's not.
Have the president just do an executive order.
I think by executive order, you might be able to do that.
I think so, too.
Right?
Yeah.
No?
I think you
I'm being told no.
We can make it
happen. I think it's a state's rights issue, isn't it? The states get to decide.
Oh, yeah. You know, because not every state does it, right?
Mm-hmm. State's rights. Let's get rid of that. Put the president in charge.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Spoken like a true Balkan.
One man.
One man in charge. One man in charge.
That's it.
His name is Boris.
There's a guy that knows how to throw a party.
Yeah, we should get his involvement for the whole party planning.
And he would like daylight savings too, I think, because the no daylight savings, because then there's more
night
to be
Yeah, because he doesn't go out till 10 anyway.
Right.
Right. That's so the sun's down under all circumstances at 10. He goes to the gym at 10.
He goes to the gym at 9:30.
He doesn't see the sun much anyway.
Goes to the gym at 9:30.
Yeah.
Pretends to work out. Just walks around the whole time.
You know he's working out.
No, he's working out.
But only curls. Just biceps.
And he goes with his partner, Sir John. They both go together.
I'm sorry, what?
I mean, his friend, not his partner. He's just friend. I meant partner in crime.
Yeah, and she literally means that.
No.
And his name is Sir John, like he's British royalty? Or
Sir
like
John. Well, in Serbian, you put a little R on the R. So, Sir John.
Uh-huh.
But it's spelled just like Sir John.
No, it's spelled with a J. S-R...
There's a Z in there.
No, well, John is spelled with a J, yeah.
Is there a Y?
Or is it a Z? What is it? Z-H? S-R-Z-H-A-N?
It's S-R-D-G-J-A-N.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Common spelling.
So,
common spelling.
That's
you know how it's usually spelled.
Sir John, we go to the gym. What time we do 10 in laundry?
Oh,
and then they hit the club about what time? What time?
Probably 11. You can't show up to a club before 11. It's apparently
be full swing when you arrive.
Yeah.
Can't be just standing around with a dead club.
No.
You got to be there at the prime hours.
No. And then the next thing you know, the party has begun.
You're closing it down.
There's nothing but vodka and Red Bull.
Are you now? Do you wait for him to get there before you arrive at the club?
I do. Yes, I go to dinner at 10. And then I go to the club. Why is there silence? Why are you guys not giving me any?
There's just a lot of questions that we won't ask following that story.
Right, our minds are reeling with the probability. What do you do before 10?
I nap at like 7. Oh. 7 to 8:30.
You nap from 7 to 8. This is on any given Saturday.
Any
rest?
Given day. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I leave here to nap.
you take a nap until 8:30. Then you got to get ready.
Yeah.
How long does that take?
Like an hour.
Okay. And then you go to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Do some cabbage rolls.
Right. No, I don't do the cabbage rolls.
That'll give her a little gas. We don't
no, burping.
In yes, that's gas.
There. Okay, sure. Yeah, yeah.
And then you...
A lot of jumping up and down in the club.
Right, and then you're at some Hubbard Street-esque kind of place.
Well, if we're going to... Yeah, either we're going to Concrete and then Cuvée, maybe, or...
Oh, God.
You know.
Oh, my God.
I think
God.
We should do Violetta's party, like where she goes.
How does Violetta
see how
live,
we enjoy
live
this.
Her club life. And
it's going to be a... Bar hopping night.
Yeah, why not? That should be the plan.
So we're gonna eat dinner at 10.
Where are we gonna eat dinner?
You gotta go to a late night establishment where it's still upbeat. I mean, I'm not going to dinner just to feed myself. I also want a nice experience.
Yeah, okay, so like just name a restaurant. Where
I go to Siena a lot.
Okay.
Or even Dublin or Gibson's or
okay.
I don't know, somewhere fun.
Somewhere fun. And then we have to go to Concrete Cowboy after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then after Concrete Cowboy, we got to find a 4 a.m. joint.
Well, I want to. Yeah, well, Tempo's always open late, but we don't have to do that part. That part depends how your night's going. Sometimes people trickle off. Sometimes more people join. It's you never know what's going to happen at the club.
And this is a typical Monday night for her. That's what I think I just learned. Yeah. I think just happened.
And then at what point in the night do you ask all your friends if you should text the show?
Yeah.
Like the third time I go to the bathroom and come back, because I have time to think in line. It's a little
about
quieter.
What you want to text. Yeah, yeah. You can be alone with your thoughts.
I'm alone with my thoughts. I'm like, right. I didn't want to text them.
Even though the person next to you in the stall is not alone with their thoughts. They're actually not even alone in the stall at the club that you're going to.
There's right.
Yeah.
Hey, could you guys keep it down? I'm trying to be alone with my own thoughts.
I'm going to text the show.
I got to text my bosses something and all good. The people around me, all my coworkers.
I got to tell them something really good.
Oh, wait, hold on. Sergio just texted me. Where am I?
Oh, no, they're going to Cuvée without me.
Hold on, I got to go.
Once Sir John went to Cuvée and came back, no one even knew he left yet.
Oh, no.
I know.
That's never, yeah.
I don't know about that. You don't ask questions in those situations.
You know what I want to just say?
I got to pick something
right now,
up.
I just want to say that this conversation has changed my mind completely about immigration law in America.
What? Yeah.
You know what? I think we need to build that wall at Kennedy and at O'Hare. We're on Terminal 5 right now.
Along our East Coast.
Yes. Everywhere. All right.
Not for me, just my friends, right?
I think we build it around Concrete Cowboy. Just around
keep them in there.
Keep it. And then we won't let them come over the wall.
Do we think the Concrete Cowboy will still be hot by February when we have to do this?
I think so, yeah.
Or there'll be another club that'll pop up.
If not, there'll be another one for sure. Yeah. I mean, my birthday's not that far away, so.
Oh, no.
February.
Yeah, now I'm worried about it. Now I actually have panic about her birthday.
No, you're anxious.
Like, this is the one thing I do not want to do.
This is why we didn't party with last year.
I think it might be because I ended up going to Concrete without you guys, and that's when I called you and bothered you all.
Oh, that's
true.
That
was the day Boris
became a member. Oh, we did have that. That's right. That's where that came from.
The day Boris was born on the Rokan show.
Do we have that? Do we still have that somewhere?
Yeah. We do. The phone call? The late at night inappropriate hour call?
Well, I was calling. I called my sister. I wasn't calling you guys. I called my sister and I left her a voicemail saying to meet me at the club.
Oh, no, I got one too, though.
Oh, and then I called you.
You called me from
Tempo.
Yeah. At 4 o'clock in the morning.
I was having a cheeseburger.
Yeah. I just want you to know I'm fine.
I got some carbs.
And I just wanted to know why?
Well, because you kept joking that I was going to call you and bother you. So then I did.
And you did.
Yeah.
Okay. It's always nice to have the young ones on the show, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Just wanted to follow through on my expectations.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we did. I mean, Judy had a good time. We've enjoyed all of our birthdays.
We really have.
And now we're on the 5 month countdown to Violetta's.
I like that all of yours are close to each other, and then mine's kind of astray. So you really get to. No one gets in the way of the 5 month countdown.
The spotlight's on you and you only.
I do have that thing, though. By the way. In the entire
month of February.
Whatever mm-hmm. the date is in
tough
February.
Month. Yeah. It really is.
Falls on a Thursday this year.
Oh, a Thursday. Oh, I've got that. Every Thursday. You know, I have this new...
Thursday commitment.
Yes.
We talked about that.
Prayer Bible study.
I was wrong.
Thursday
it's
nights.
On a Friday.
It's a Friday. I
do the Friday night. Mm-hmm. I do a Torah study. I keep moving. I move it, you know, from day to... I'm enjoying all of the... I'm coming up with a religious reason for every day of the week. I'm a Zoroastrian. I can't do Wednesdays.
I understand.
All right. Andrea.
Ro.
Can you help us with what's going up at the top of the hour?
I will. Of course, we have a big election coming up tomorrow, and the early voting numbers in Cook County, off the charts. We'll have numbers for you at 7.
Violetta,